Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, have you ever done something really good or have something happen to you really good and then just turn around and just completely mess it up later? Like getting a really good job, a job that you really wanted. Great pay, great benefits. The hours could be better, but full time. Really promising career. And you get this job, something that's really good. And you're so excited and you're working at it. But then you run into a problem. And the problem is they want you to be at work earlier than you want to be at work. That's a big problem. Because, say, you make it a habit of not getting to work on time. What would happen to you if you're consistently late to a job, no matter how good the job is? You lose your job. Yes. Yeah, so have you ever had something like that happen to you? Or you say something really smart and then turn around and say something not so smart. You compliment your spouse and then you turn around and kind of say something that cuts that compliment right in half or worse. We've all been known to say things and do things that make no sense at all. We don't want to, but we do. In all kinds of situations. Peter, as I was talking to with the youth, he had a habit of not being able to just keep his mouth shut. We've heard it several times when Jesus is walking on the water. He says, "Don't worry, take heart. It is I. It is I, Jesus." And Peter says, "If it's really you, let me walk on the water." Okay, Peter, come. And then he turns around and messes up by looking at the wind. It happens all a lot for Peter. So we just read last week, we just had in our gospel reading where Peter made that great confession the first time that Jesus is ever spoken of as called the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one we've been waiting for. You are He, the Son of the living God. What a beautiful statement. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." What a beautiful statement. And now, this week, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to suffer and die, be killed. He will suffer many things from the elders, a note that's not talking about our elders here in this church, all right? Suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. Even though he does suffer many things from us, let's not forget it. That is our sin that took him to the cross, the sins of all people. And on the third day be raised. Well, it seems like the disciples quit listening after that part about and be killed, and they didn't really catch that and on the third day be raised part, because they were already, their minds were going, yeah. Of course, Peter was the one who would then voice, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." It had to happen to Jesus. And he's been telling the disciples that he was on his way for this reason. But they did not want to believe it. They wanted to believe that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, not to suffer and be killed, but to begin his reign as king, that he would overthrow the Romans, that he would put in place the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Sadducees, let them understand what he was doing, that he would now be sitting on his throne there in Jerusalem. That's what they were expecting from him. They didn't like this part about being killed. No, wait, that's not why we're following you to watch you be killed. That's not what this is all about. No. Then Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Let those words sink in, what Jesus said. Shocking statement from Jesus. We would never expect Jesus to tell one of his disciples, call him Satan, especially one of his main three of the disciples, James, John, and Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." Sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? Let's see, who led Peter to say those words? "Far be it for you, Jesus, this shall never happen." Who was behind Peter's saying those words? It was Satan. It was the devil. Devil wanted to break them up. He wanted to cause a big, huge problem. He wanted Jesus to go, "You know what? Maybe you're right, Peter. Maybe I shouldn't let that happen. Maybe I'll think back to when the devil promised me to set me up on all the kingdoms of the world." Is that what the devil intended by having Peter speak those words? I don't know. They sure weren't words that you would expect a follower of Jesus to say. "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking of the things of God, but of the things of man." He tells Peter he's a hindrance to him. Not setting your mind on the things of God. You're not setting your mind on what God wants, what God desires, but only on what man desires when he's not looking toward God. "Get behind me, Satan." Wow. Jesus was going to the cross. And what Satan really wanted to do was cancel out the cross. You know, put a picture of a cross and take one of those circles and put the line through it. No cross. No cross. That's what Satan was trying to get. No cross. If there's no cross, we're in deep trouble. If there's no cross, there's no salvation. If there's no cross, we probably wouldn't be in here today. We would be out just having a good old time, causing all kinds of trouble. There wouldn't be no calmness or peace in the world at all. Not for us. No cross. So that's why Jesus speaks so harshly. He needs to let the disciples know that what he is saying needs to happen, and they cannot be a hindrance to him. They have to set their minds on the things of God. God's ways are higher than our ways. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's not easy for us. It's not easy for us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We don't want those crosses. We would love, and Satan would love us to say, no cross. No. But we have to bear them. They are there. We take them up and we give them to Jesus. It won't do us any good at all to gain the whole world and have everything be great here. You know, all of us have that great job. Everything's going really well. We're all wealthy. We all live in big, huge mansions. Everything is great. Except for one thing. We forgot about God. We forgot about Jesus. We've gained the whole world. It's kind of like the rich man. He knew he was going to build more silos for all this extra grain he had. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry. What happened to him? He died that night. So it wouldn't do us any good to gain the whole world in the worldly fashion and to lose our life in Christ. That wouldn't do us a darn thing. We can have everything we want, but we don't have Jesus. We have nothing. We could have the best family in the world, but we don't have Jesus. We have nothing. We could be poor, miserable sinners, struggling to get by each and every day. Struggling to get by. Having issues at home, having issues at work, having issues wherever. But if we have Jesus, we have everything. So, do you want to take up your cross and have everything? Or do you want to cross out your cross and have nothing? As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. From Joshua. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. We will take up our crosses and we will let him relieve us of the burdens of this life. And we take up our cross. And as he was raised on the third day, just as he promised here, we have the promise that we too will be raised to eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How beautiful will that be? Us poor, miserable sinners spending eternity with God. In the name of Jesus, amen.